We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
What up, everybody? B. Mitch here, B. Mitch and Finley. We have a very busy show for you today. We're going to get you over hump day, Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. We have Ron Rivera's press conference at 10:30. J.P. Finley will be coming to us from the Lost Rhino Brewery again. He's out at Mandatory Minicamp. At 11 o'clock, the new guy who's going to be roaming around the slots of the Washington football team, Adam Humphries, will be joining us. 12 o'clock, we have Ben White, Morning Money Ben. Find out from Ben a little bit about what's going on with all these high values, high evaluations of what's happening with the soccer teams around. Aaron Rodgers not at minicamp, which we all expected, and I don't think anything else has changed, but we will discuss it as we always do. We check into everything, and then Will Brinson will take us around the NFL. He'll get a little bit more into Aaron Rodgers and Julio Jones and the minicamps that are going on around, but then we'll get into her here first. And Cody, you were right. I went back and I went through our whole little process. I did take the plus five. That mean I lost.
Yeah, we have a guy that tracks all of our picks, puts them on a Google Doc. Huh? It's pretty crazy. So he sent it to me, and our stats aren't very good.
Our stats aren't good, but we don't care. It's a friendly thing. If we were doing this for actual money, I think we would really put some time and research and invest into it. But we don't. We just I picked mine at the last minute because it's like four of us going through it every day. We're supposed to pay at the end of the week. So basically, what is it, $15? Hell, I pay more than that every time I buy food for everybody. I don't care about that. You know, my whole thing is to have fun with it. And, you know, hey, if I was putting my money on it, then I'll highly be pissed off. But I'm not. But we got day two of a mandatory minicamp happening out there at the park over in Ashburn. That's the way I would say it. The park in Ashburn. Give it that name so we don't have to say the other name. The park at Ashburn. They're going through it today, and we'll find out from JP once he gets on the other things that are happening and what was something that stood out for him today. I was communicating with JP and Chris Conner, our program director, and they talked about this thing about Pete. This guy has predicted that Antonio Gibson would lead the NFL in yards from scrimmage this year. And when I saw it at first, I paused. And then as you think about it, like CK said, that's not crazy to think about. It's absolutely not crazy. You look at what the young man did last year and didn't necessarily know what he was doing as a running back at the NFL level. And look at the yards here, 13, I think he ended up with about almost 11 to 13 touchdowns. He had over 11 total yards of offense. And I think 1,100 total yards. And if he gets into this thing now and be more comfortable, I think he can go out there and do just about anything he wants to do. I have JP here now.
Hello, Brian. What's going
up,
on,
sir?
Buddy?
I kind of heard, I thought I was hearing some cicadas in the background, but I figured it was you.
I am outside again. And, yeah, there's probably cicadas. B-Mitch, I don't know if it was like this when you played. The amount of bugs out there is outrageous.
They were there.
And, you know, I mean, it's a flood.
I should have had a contract with Off at the time.
Dude, I actually bought bug spray to take out to minicamp this morning, and I sprayed, didn't make a lick of difference. I swear. Like,
but when it gets a little, it had some rain last night and yesterday, and I think when that rain comes through there and then that humidity comes, those bugs come out in droves.
Yeah, man. The bugs were wild. So I heard you talking about Antonio Gibson there, right?
Yes.
And it's funny, I've been going back and forth. Because he discussed that he's still, you know, a little bit, maybe not hampered, but it seems like the turf toe is still on his mind. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching him really closely because, to me, that's probably the most interesting story going on at minicamp right now, mm-hmm. is what's going to happen with Antonio Gibson. Is he, you know, it's only June, but you want him to be healthy. You don't want him to be dealing with an injury from last December.
I think they're depending on him.
Absolutely. And I think I noticed it might be when he starts to, you know, when a guy kind of starts to slow down when they're about to make a cut and they'll kind of, they kind of do that like jump stop pivot before the next big cut comes. That might be where either it's on his mind or it's still physically impacting him. And I know I've been trying to, I've really been watching him closely for the last yesterday and the session last week. And that was the first time I was like, oh, all right. Like maybe I do kind of see what he's saying. And
you know what though? It's one of those injuries, JP. I think that turf toe is from what
did
I,
you ever have it?
I never had it, but I hear people discuss it, and it's kind of once you get it, and I know people that have I can't think of the name of it.
Plantar fasciitis.
No. The thing where you get from eating like seafood and all that. What's that?
Oh, gout.
Gout.
That you think I have.
They talk a little bit about that. In a sense, because it's a pain threshold type thing, and you don't know when it's going to hit you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you're trying to run and think about it, it's going to throw you off just a little bit. But it's just like any other injury. Once you get total confidence in it to where I could just plant and go, you're going to be okay. But most injuries, especially those you've never dealt with, once you get it, it's going to be on your mind until everything is proven to yourself.
Yeah, and that is kind of what I think is going on. I don't know if that makes sense. I think because when I watch him physically go through the running back drills, I mean, he's picking his feet up, he's cutting, everything's fine because it's just going through a drill, right?
Yeah.
But when he's out in the open field and it's time to turn upfield or plant that foot and kind of, you know, stretch the line, that maybe seems like where the issue is, yeah. And it's one of those things, I couldn't help but notice this today. So Peyton Barber, if you remember last season, wore number 34.
Yeah.
This year, he's wearing 25. Okay. I said to somebody on the sideline today, I was like, who's 25? And they're like, oh, you remember, Barber changed his number. I was like, oh, that's right. But, man, he looks like he's slimmed down. And I don't think that's good for him. His role is to be a thumping running back, to be a short yardage.
How much does he weigh?
I'm looking up what he's listed at right now.
Yeah.
But, Bimich, I'm telling you, he looks – so they had him listed at 5'11", 225.
Okay.
And he doesn't look – like. I mean, last year I watched him. He was physically imposing. He was by far the biggest of the backs. Gibson with this – with the collection of running backs that are out there now, Gibson looks like everybody's big brother. He looks way bigger than everybody. Now, some of that is he's taller.
6 feet, 230, 220?
They have Gibson listed 6'2", 220. I bet he's a legit 6'1", 220. I mean, he's a big fella.
Okay.
And you don't see that many running backs that are that tall. Running backs are usually, you know, your height, shorter than me, 5'10", something like that.
I run through you, though.
Well, that's to be determined.
The job in being a running back is not to be tall. It's to run through people.
But I couldn't help but notice the Peyton Barber thing. And, you know, J.D. McKissic hasn't been out there. I was texting with somebody yesterday, which was pretty interesting, just kind of about, I don't want to call it hype, but the excitement surrounding Antonio Gibson. And Evan Silva is a really smart NFL writer that I follow, and he's saying he believes Gibson could be the all-purpose yards leader in the NFL, which is serious high praise. I mean, that shows you're getting something done.
Yeah.
And not including returns, but, you know, just receiving and rushing yards.
Yards from scrimmage, yeah.
Yeah, and so I texted with somebody about that yesterday, and they're like, listen, we want a big jump from Gibson, but we also want to spread the ball around. They got a lot of mouths to feed all of a sudden. So I thought that was kind of interesting, especially from a fantasy perspective, that maybe they're not trying to put everything on him like some of us kind of expected. I think J.D. McKissic will still have his role, but I do think Gibson will have a bigger role in the pass game, and I think he should.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think the ultimate thing comes down to health. And I said that yesterday when you – CK and I were texting where I said, you know, if he's healthy, it all take care of itself because the guy's good. You know, let's just hands down, he's damn good. Without having the experience and knowing what he was doing just last year, look what he did. But I think ultimately they can say what they want about, you know, we got other mouths to feed. But if he's in a game and he's cooking, they're going to keep feeding him.
Let him cook.
You know, if he's cooking and they care, oh, no, we got to get it to this guy over here, that'd be the dumbest thing in the world. So I hear coaches always saying that, but the hot hand is what you go with.
Yeah, I
agree
with
that. And if he's the hot hand, you damn sure go with him. If he's a guy who's coming out the backfield and he's doing it, he's giving it to people. And then all of a sudden, when you put him out there and a linebacker's trying to cover him and he's cooking him, I'm going to use it all damn game.
So, Bemich, I'm out. I'm back at Los Rhino here in Ashburn. They've been very kind to let me set up shop so I can go to practice and then hustle over here. And I don't know if more people are riding around listening to the show today, but I've had three people drive by and yell Bemich and Finley at me. So that's exciting news.
That's good
there
stuff.
He is again. What's up, dude?
Oh, yeah. Keep it going.
Yeah. And we're in – I mean, this Los Rhino Brewing Company is in a cool spot, but it's in like an office park in Ashburn, you know?
Hey, people know where the beer is.
That's
yeast,
a good point.
The hops and the barley. They know where all that is.
That's a good point. I wanted to tell you what I found that really stood out to me at practice today.
Uh-huh.
The defensive line started to look pretty damn forceful.
Menacing.
Yeah, especially when they were going, you know, 11 on 11, one starting offense for starting defense or whatever version of the first team we're seeing, the June version, right? Mm-hmm. There was a sequence where Montez Sweat batted down a pass on what would have been first down. Second down was an interior handoff to Gibson that I don't think would have gotten a yard, but nobody's hitting, nobody's tackling, so he's able to run a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then on third down, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick was just engulfed by defensive linemen. Chase Young was in the backfield. Sweat was joining them. There was serious interior push. I don't remember who the two interior linemen were on the play, but it just – you started to see – and maybe it's kind of easy at this point. The D linemen are just going upfield. The offense is still installing plays. There's a lot of moving parts there. But it was a real look at, oh, man, these guys could be good. Then they went down into red zone drills. And this was a funny moment, I thought. It seemed a little, I don't want to say sloppy offensively, because this is when it's supposed to be a learning process.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't seem crisp, I would say. And there was one drill where they went to the line of scrimmage. And I don't know if Fitzpatrick decided or if the coaches said or what. But they had to go back and huddle up. Like, they got to the line of scrimmage and then had to go back and huddle up. And at that point, Montez Sweat yells, "Ain't no second chances in a game. That's a 5-yard penalty." And then Chase Young takes a towel and throws it as high as he can to kind of simulate throwing the flag.
Uh-huh.
And it was – the defense was just, you know, kind of yelling and jawing and hollering and having fun. And it was it was a funny moment, but it showed – I do think there's some cohesion – and some real excitement about the defensive players with what they can get done this fall.
Listen, they should, and they were good last year. But let me, as a former offensive player, let me break it down a little bit for you. This time of the year, the defense always wins because they know they can't get cut. Once I can put a helmet on your damn knee, you don't come in all crazy anymore. They're not blocking and tackling right now. So defense all – and defense, we call them – they're the crazies because they don't pay attention to stuff. They want to just dominate. They want to fly through the line and stuff. But an offensive lineman know, and a defensive lineman know as well. Once I put my helmet on your knee, you don't come full speed anymore. So they can have that fun now. And they put on pads and get in the game, we'll see. That's, you know what I'm saying?
For sure. And
take advantage today.
Yeah.
You know, and the offensive players are probably sitting back saying, all this, just like, you know, when they can't hit the quarterback and the quarterback throw the touchdown. Or you remember when Robert was here where Robert would run through the line, they tag him off. Then he would run all the way to the end zone and the crowd is going crazy. And you're saying he was tackled behind the line of scrimmage.
I know.
That's the same thing.
There's another person driving and waving at me. Maybe they think I'm the slow stop guy or something and I can just.
No, they know you are. They see the big forehead and the big old ears. They know it's J.P. Finley.
Speaking of Robert Griffin III, he just tweeted – this sounds like something that he wanted you and I to know specifically, Brian.
Okay.
RG3 just tweeted, "Be so busy catching blessings, you don't have time to hold grudges."
Well, I don't think anybody holding a grudge.
You know, Robert's a really nice guy, and I wish him a lot of success. Is he on a roster right now? Do you know?
I don't know.
But at some point, I don't know, man. A lot of life sayings. Yeah, he's a free agent right now.
Okay. Now, those that are catching blessings are not out there posting that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair argument is, you know, just kind of focus on yourself. But listen, whatever makes your day.
Whatever floats your boat.
Whatever floats your boat. How is your boat? Is it floating?
My boat is always floating, JP.
It's good to hear.
Yeah. I make sure there's a friend with a motor on the head so I can make sure we get around the place.
Don't get stuck in the Potomac like me and Jack.
I've had that happen too.
You know, we've been talking about Kendall Fuller and William Jackson are, you know, established, I think, at this point. Benjamin St. Juice has a real opportunity to be the next corner, to be that third corner. And I think if he can play well on the outside, they can maybe use Fuller in that slot role where he's been so good.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, St. Juice seems to be coming on. I get what they like in him, and we are all, I don't want to say caught up, but we all know that Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, they've had a lot of success in that third round with offensive players.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of success in that third round with offensive players. And I think St. Juice could be another third rounder that they have a lot of success with. And just because he's not an offensive player doesn't mean he couldn't be a player that pops. That Minnesota defense was really good, too.
They were. And that's the thing about it. Like, and I think ultimately what we need to start looking at when we look at this draft, don't look at just first, second round. You can find a diamond in the rough somewhere. And it seems to be them in the third round now, because the third round is just the guy where, and this is as simple as this. He went to a school that they maybe didn't see as like, oh, this is a training ground for pro players. Look at, all right, Terry McLaurin, yeah, he go to Ohio State, but he wasn't on the field as much as you would think he was. So they say, okay, well, if he wasn't on the field, he can't play. So they start doubting him a little bit. Then you go to Memphis with Antonio Gibson. Is that a breeding ground for pro players? I wouldn't say people think that. Even Minnesota. When you think of University of Minnesota, you don't think, oh, yeah, that football team is awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe, just maybe, those guys drop just because of the school, or, you know, maybe they start to develop a little later.
I don't think third round is necessarily diamond in the rough category. Do you? To me, diamond in the rough, and some of this has changed now that they divide the draft up from Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. But I think if you're a Friday night pick, there's expectations.
Well, the thing I say, I look at it like this, JP. I say diamond in the rough because first rounders and second rounders are the ones that are drafted to come in and make immediate impact.
Sure.
Third rounders are guys that you feel they need some time.
Yeah,
but
I get you.
The two guys that we drafted in the third round over the last 2 years, they walked in and they became immediate impacts. So that's why I call them a diamond in the rough, because I think Terry McLaurin played better than the first rounder. Antonio Gibson came in and showed like he could have been a first rounder. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know that. Terry McLaurin played better than the last first round receiver they took here in Washington. I know that much.
Well, you know, I'm just saying.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Coming up next on the show, we will have head coach of the Washington football team, Ron Rivera's live press conference. We'll bring that to you right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
B. Mitch and Finley back here on 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along the show on social media. You can follow me at JP Finley NBCS. Follow Brian at B. Mitch Live NBCS. And you can follow the B. Mitch and Finley account at, shockingly, B. Mitch and Finley. I think that's a pretty good name for
you. I think it's a great one.
I am out at Lost Rhino Brewery in Ashburn. I was at practice this morning for the Washington football team. Brian is in our Navy Yard studios along with Landfill and Cody Betts. How are all the boys doing, B? You taking care of everybody without me?
Always.
You going to buy everybody lunch without me there
maybe,
again?
Maybe. We'll see.
So you specifically wait till I'm not there to get
JP,
lunch.
I think you need to just shut up. Because even when you're here, I pay for stuff, so stop.
Certainly true.
Okay.
Certainly true.
Yeah. See, that victim thing, boy, is going to your head.
Sometimes I'm just messing around.
No, sometimes you're just being what you are, a victim.
Well, maybe I am.
You play it.
I'm a victim right now because Nadal is completely boning me.
So what do you have? Do you have actual money on Rafael Nadal?
No, I just have the thing that matters more to me than money. Heard it here first. I have a parlay with Nadal winning in straight sets. He won the first set, and he's currently down 3-0 in the second. It's a disaster.
Who's the guy he's playing? Because I want you to know I'm rooting for him.
Is Schwartzman. Some dude from Argentina. Nadal's just hitting every single... He's just hitting it into the net every single time. It's a disaster.
Go Schwartzman.
It's just mean what you're doing.
What was the other part of the parlay? Tsitsipas?
Yeah, Tsitsipas to win the first set yesterday, and he did that.
All right, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. In a few minutes here, we are going to hear from Washington head football coach, Mr. Ron Rivera. A lot of interesting questions for him. The defense was dominant today during minicamp. I don't think anything that happens in June is really cause for alarm, but it is worth noting that the defense dominated this one. B-Mitch, I wanted to ask you, because it kind of became a meme yesterday, did you see the pictures the Washington football team posted with the players holding up? So it made me think of it. Today was my two-year-old's last day of nursery school.
Uh-huh.
So my wife did the picture of her holding, you know, Ainsley's last day of pre-K 2, whatever the sign says.
Uh-huh.
And the football team rolled those out with Ryan Fitzpatrick, Terry McLaurin, and the Fitzpatrick one especially because he is just, like, completely monotone in the picture. I mean, he has zero expression on his face. If you had to describe the expression on his face, it would be that he's angry or at least unhappy.
Why the hell am I here?
What's that? Yeah, a little bit of why the hell am I here vibe.
What is this?
But that has since become a meme all over the place. What would B. Mitch's reaction have been if they handed him that that board to say it's your first day of school?
I would say, nah, I'm not going to do that one.
I think it's a funny bit. I just think
that some things are not necessary, but, I mean, it is what it is. That's somebody came up with it. They wanted to do it. But I've always thought the NFL doesn't need extra stuff to push it.
Yeah. I think in June is one thing. If you do something like that later in the season, it wouldn't be for me. It's an interesting thing, though, especially with them. I thought it was Ron Rivera yesterday talked about wanting to go back to Richmond to make sure the fans down in Richmond know that they're still a big part of the organization. I do think the team is really trying to, like, reach fans kind of on their level, if that makes sense. But ultimately, and this is what you always say, B, is that it's going to be about winning.
That's
however
it.
They win.
I mean, no matter what you do, ultimately it's going to come down to winning. Because let's get it straight. We will pay whatever we need to pay if a team is winning and is entertaining. You know, we will listen to whatever you have to say. We'll put up with a lot of BS. We'll let certain things slide if you're winning. But if you start thinking we're going to do all that when you're not winning, then you're fooling yourself.
Certainly. Certainly. I think – so Kime was walking around. He was asking folks a couple questions for his podcast. And the two questions he was asking were, how would you rate this offseason, and what's the biggest question mark going forward? So, Bemich, I kind of want to ask you those two things. How would you rate this offseason, and what's the biggest question mark going forward? And depending on our timeline, maybe we can hit the phones with that. I know I believe we're speaking with Washington football team receiver Adam Humphries at 11 a.m., which should be very cool. Humphries is a good dude. I've talked to him a couple times. But for right now, while we wait for Ron Rivera here, let's have you answer that, B-Mitch. How would you rate this offseason?
I would rate the offseason as a pass. I would say I sit as a high B-plus or an A, because I think they've done the things and no, I'm not going to give it an A. I'm going to give it a B-plus, because I think the A would have been if they had already addressed the quarterback and they were going to have a quarterback that's going to be here this year and they're going to be here for the future as well. They didn't get to that point. But they did address a lot of issues that they had, and they filled some holes. So I'll go with that. I'll go to B-plus. But you said what's the biggest question?
Biggest question mark.
The biggest question mark is the quarterback position. You know, we talk about how important it is, and I don't know if anybody could with certainty say that, oh, yeah, we solved that problem, because you don't know which Fitzpatrick you're going to get. Yeah, it's funny when we go, oh, you're going to get Fitzpatrick or Fitzmagic. But you know what, though? People that are really thinking about this thing, that's something very serious, you know? And you see a guy in his, what, 17th year now?
Yep.
A long time. And I know what people say, well, over the last few years he's gotten better. He didn't play a full season, and I think all that. In the 2 years together, he might have played a full season. But ultimately, what are you truly going to get? Will he resort back to some of what he was before? You know, is this problem solved now, or is he going to continue? Now that I'm in place and I'm the guy, am I going to try to, you know, fit the ball in places that I probably can't or probably shouldn't try? That's a big problem. And I think another one right behind it is the depth on the defensive line. We talk so much about the starters. Who's backing them up?
I'm not as worried on the interior, because you've got Allen, Payne, Ioannidis, and I like Tim Settle a lot.
Yeah, but I'm just saying all the way across the board.
But the outside pass rushers. And let me say this. James Smith-Williams made a nice play today in red zone drills. But you've got – we all know Sweat and Young. We all know them. We know what they're capable of. There's a lot of excitement there, understandably. But after that, you're talking Shaka Toney, James Smith-Williams, William Bradley King, and Casey Tuhill.
Mm-hmm.
That, a lot of question marks, and maybe one of those guys will be great, but that is question marks. And, I mean, Chase dealt with, I believe, two different injuries last year. He had the hip early, and then what caused him to miss some time later on in the season? Is it time for Ron, Lamphill tells me. We're going to hear from Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera in just a moment here. Chase Young, it's funny, in his press conference yesterday, he said, you know, I dealt with this hip injury, and people didn't realize that. That's not true. Like, we knew he had the hip flexor. He missed things early on. He missed time in training camp. It was a big deal. And then we were all told, hey, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it.
I think that's the whole thing he was getting at. It was played down, but he's letting you know that it was a problem.
Sure. It's interesting, though, because he came out and had that monster game against Philly, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that opening game, he had a sack and a half. I think he – okay.
Got some good, they got good medicine in the NFL.
What's that?
Good medicine in the NFL.
There's certainly good medicine in the NFL. All right, let's join the Ron Rivera press conference out here in Ashburn. Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, talking now.
Good about that. I think one of the things you'll see is going to have to be the development of the rapport between the quarterbacks and the receivers. You know, we're in a new situation. You know, we've got a very competitive quarterback room. It's going to be interesting to watch these guys and see how they develop their chemistry with our receivers, our tight ends, our running backs, and the offensive line for that matter.
A fun question for you. The first day of school pictures that the players took over the last couple of days have been circulating over on social media. Just wondering, what did you think of those pictures, and who was your favorite out of those pictures that were taken?
It was hilarious. I really do appreciate them. I think they all were. There's some pretty good comments, and you just got to be careful with them because sometimes they're going to come back and haunt these guys. That's the best part.
I don't know if you saw Fitzpatrick's, but that was my favorite.
Yes, Fitzpatrick's was very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, as a mom, that to see those, that was I gave kudos to the social media team because those were tremendous. Those were fun. Even the non-sports fan can like those. Mike, I just got one for you, Ron. Antonio Gibson, he's a guy that when he came in last year, he was dealt with a position change. He had the injury. What have you seen from him in your time with him and his growth as a person, a player, and all that stuff that he kind of had to go through, you know, in just 1 year of football, professional football?
I think it's been very steady. You know, in spite of not having a normal offseason last year to prepare and get ready for their rookie season, I thought all of our rookies handled last year very, very well. Very pleased with all of our rookies as they're back now, working their way into opportunities on our football team. That's the thing that's been a lot of fun to watch. And you see the individual growth. I mean, you see the continued growth by Chase. You see Antonio. AGG. You really do like that in terms of those young guys. Cam Curl. I mean, I go through the whole list of all the guys from last year and just tell you every guy's made strides and going in the right direction. But, you know, for Antonio making the position change, you can tell he's matured. He's got a better feel, a better understanding, and those natural instincts that you look for. The intangibles that guys who've been playing the positions that have had, you know, been playing them their whole career, you know, naturally have, you starting to see those come to light with Antonio. So it's exciting and hope for continued growth for him.
Thank you.
Hey, Ron, with Chase Young, what kind of strides have you seen even just in the couple of days out here?
Well, really just his feel for things, the way he moves, in terms of the guys he's working with on the D-line. There's some natural synergy between himself and that group. And it only comes with the more and more experience that he gains and feel he gets for the guys he's working with. That's probably the biggest thing you see. His natural leadership, it shows already. And then his pass rush feel, you know, there's some things that he's done. He did yesterday, actually, which was really good to watch. Was he ran a counter where he went up and underneath the guy. And it was almost a natural, you know, he's getting that feel back. So that was good to see.
And then with Terry, one of the things he talked about was his release off the line. What have you seen from him this spring?
Well, we can't really get up and press him right now. So there really hasn't been an opportunity to watch these guys really work that stuff. But you see him, you know, trying to work on specific things while they're over there doing their individual drills. And you do know it's about getting off the line and getting off the line clean. And he'll continue to work that. When we get a chance to start being pressed, you know, once we get to training camp, that's really when you'll see him work on it and start to develop.
Thank you.
All righty.
Hey, Ron, I asked Chris about what he's looking for from the free safety spot. What would make somebody stand out to take command of that job? I wanted to throw that question to you and also sort of ask a question about creating chemistry back there when you don't have Landon Collins playing. You don't necessarily know, or maybe you do know, who your starting free safety is, but one, what are you looking for from your starting free safety? And also, how are you guys trying to implement chemistry when there's so much fluctuation happening?
Well, the one thing you're looking for is you're looking for a guy that's got range, you know, that basically can play center field. It's got to be a little bit of an air traffic controller, you know, be able to communicate on the move, be able to make sure guys are lined up in the right position, getting the checks out, getting the techniques that they're using across to each other. I mean, there's a lot that goes into a really quality free safety. And I've been fortunate. I played with some pretty good ones and I've coached some pretty good ones. And we've got a good young group of guys that have that opportunity. As far as developing chemistry and Landon not being out there, that just comes from all the work. I mean, I know we roll a lot of guys in and we're moving guys all the way around, but you know, you have to know who you're playing with and you got to learn how to communicate with that person. You got to do it quickly. And this is a good opportunity for these guys to develop that that feel for one another. And it's also what goes on in the meetings. You know, when you ask guys questions, when you try to get guys to communicate those answers together, you know, there's a lot of ways to work it, not just out here on the practice field.
And then a guy like Cam Curl, obviously he filled in those last eight games as strong safety and he was set there. He was the big nickel prior to that. But now Chris talked about how he's moving around so much because you guys do have Landon. But you guys have said you guys want playmakers out there. We saw that today. I believe it was on John Batey, like, had a play he made. So what do you do with a guy like that that has shown that potential? He had the 3 interceptions last year. You know, he comes up to the line. He, like, snuffs out stuff. But how do you find a way to make space for a guy like that on a team? Like, what creative ways are you guys finding to do that here?
Well, because a lot of times you look for what they did in college and look for those hybrid positions that are coming out of college right now. You know, we have one, we call it the Buffalo. That's a position he played for us last year. That's a position where you'll see him sniffing up at the line a little bit more. You also see him locking up on certain positions, whether it be a tight end or a back that comes out of the backfield. So there are ways to use guys. And we're learning to use a guy like that to the best of his ability that suits us. And again, like I said, whether it's playing him at a Buffalo position, which is a little bit of a hybrid spot, playing him at the strong and moving somebody else to that hybrid spot, there's a lot of things that you can do to utilize players.
Hi, Ron. Just to follow up on Antonio Gibson, what would you like to see out of him during this time in minicamp, but also in training camp? I mean, was there anything that you and Coach Jordan really emphasized to him this offseason?
Well, the biggest thing I've seen, and I know Coach has been emphasized to him, was staying in your book, learning. And that was kind of, you know, evident. He's really come a long way compared to last year, understanding and having a feel for what we do defensively. The other thing you really appreciate is just how the way he works during the individual drills. You know, there's a lot of things that Randy's trying to pull out of him in terms of understanding his cuts and when to press a hole, when to cut back. Those are things that he'll develop and get a better feel for the more reps he gets. It'll be natural for him because, you know, the way they played him at Memphis, you know, he occasionally ended up in the backfield. He occasionally ended up having to run through the line. So it's not all completely new to him. It's not all that foreign, but he's just got to develop a better feel for it.
And then with Matt Ioannidis, what have you seen from him so far in minicamp?
A lot of growth and development. I mean, you know, we missed him last year. Getting hurt in the third game of the regular season was a blow to our front. I mean, we were good last year. I think we can be better with Matt out there on the football field helping us. And what you've seen is you've seen him working, doing the extra things, the little things that help develop your skill set. And so I'm excited about getting Matt back on the field for us.
Hey, Ron, I wanted to ask, has Peyton Barber slimmed down a little?
Yes. Yes.
Is that something you guys wanted him to do, or how'd that come about?
I think that was done consciously by him. You know, and it's one of the things that when you do talk to guys that are becoming veteran guys in terms of a little older, a little longer in the tooth, one of the things that helped them as far as their career is concerned is to maintain their weight, to keep it down. You know, it helps quicken. It takes a little bit of the stress off of their knees and ankles and hips and their lower back. They feel better. They feel faster. And you can see it. He's playing fast. He's done a heck of a job for us.
Any concern about kind of his short yardage abilities?
No, because he's stronger. He's worked at it too. So the trade-off is, you know, he's probably lost a little bit of the baby fat and has gotten a little bit leaner. I'm not concerned about his short yardage running, because one thing he does, he runs with leverage. He runs with good body lean. I don't think it's going to impact his ability to run inside that much.
Thank you. All right, that was Washington Football Team head coach Mr. Ron Rivera. Looks like I was right about Peyton Barber losing some weight. We're going to react to everything Ron said, particularly about the defense, when we return right here at 106.7 The Fan. Like Benjamin St. Juice, Ron Rivera said he really likes the package he's got. I think St. Juice has a good chance to be that number three cornerback, Brian. What do you think?
It's possible. I mean, the thing of it, you got to realize, though, they didn't draft him, like you said, third round or whatever, if they were just thinking about putting him on the team. They drafted people that they think work for what they like. And he's a longer guy compared to some of the other guys.
Yep, and big, long. Rivera said he's really good at using outside leverage and really good at keeping eyes on the quarterback. That, to me, sounds like an outside corner.
And I think if you can get St. Juice playing on the outside, maybe you can even move Kendall Fuller back inside where he's arguably the best slot corner in the NFL, but certainly one of the top three. Things start to look really damn good if all that breaks the right way, don't you think, Brian?
Yeah, if it breaks the right way, and that's the whole thing about it. We got to figure this thing out. And then also, everything looks good on paper.
Sure.
Until it gets out there and goes against other teams. We'll see where they stand then. I think that St. Juice comes with a list of abilities, and you got to see how he's going to keep improving those things as he moves forward.
For sure. For sure. And I think Chase Young even kind of said that in his comments yesterday. He's like, I think we've got one of the best defenses in the NFL, but that's just on paper. We got to go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's kind of where this whole thing is headed. What do you think? You're somebody that always brings up the shoulder lean for running backs. What do you think of Ron responding about Peyton Barber shedding some weight but not worried about losing the power?
The thing about it, I mean, how much weight did he really lose? Or did he lose, like, fat and gain muscle? You know, sometimes you can see how people trim up, and the weight doesn't really change that much. But Peyton Barber runs with a force. You know, even when he was the size he was, the way he ran was bigger than what he was. And I think it'll still be the same thing now. It's no longer where he has to just go move the whole crowd by himself. He knows how to twist his shoulder pads just a little bit, get a little bit lower, and move forward. So, yeah, he'll be fine, I think. And then, again, they may want to use him some different ways. Like this year, if he slims up, instead of when he goes in the game, oh, it's going to be he going to slam in there. No, they may do a play action and he leak into the flats. Never know.
Yeah, he looked noticeably smaller, but until I see him run, I won't know. Until I see him run with pads and the defense has pads on, we'll know if the power is all still there.
There you go.
Coming up next, right here on 106.7 The Fan, we are going to talk to Washington football team wide receiver, Mr. Adam Humphries. Beavis, I was thinking about this. Humphries is relatively new to town. He's probably only been here a month, maybe 6 weeks. He should call John Leahy. He's going to need a house. He's going to need a condo or a townhouse or something. There's nobody better in this town to help you buy a house, sell a house, get a house than our guy, John Leahy.
A lot of times after you sell your house, you need to move into a new one. So just like the Franks, they were eager to sell their family home and move into their perfectly sized forever home. They contracted John, and with his VIP seller's experience, they have 16 private showings from vetted buyers. This resulted in 6 offers within 3 days, and they sold for an amazing price. The Franks are now enjoying their forever home. That's Jonathan Leahy of eXp Realty. Jonathan's strategic marketing and huge buyer demand is selling homes up to $70,000 over asking. Just think of what you can do with that $70,000. You can do a multitude of things. Buy all types of stuff and make sure you have the greatest furniture that you absolutely want. Jonathan even guarantees 3 offers on your home within 72 hours. No open houses, repairs, hassles, just cash. Jonathan offers flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Straight cash, homie. Here's what John will do. He will guarantee that your home gets sold. But in a marketplace like this, there's more to it. It's complex, it's complicated, and it's competitive. John is the guy that will win you that house you want. Call John today, 301-651-4900, or you can go online to theleahygroup.com. But the easiest thing, just Google him. Just Google John Leahy today. And the next step, start packing.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.